Thank you very much. I was wondering if you could speak on what actually happened in the passing of the torch on the 23rd of April, 1984, and then the date, I mean, the event later that year on the 12-12 event.
We actually, the passing of the torch, and Monica, I'm giving her permission also to chime in because she is the archivist and knows. Do you remember that date?
Not that date. What we have from Crane is the harmonic convergence, which happened in 1987. I haven't heard Crane talk about the passing of the torch.
Yeah, that was actually the passing of the torch, I think, is what 87, which was the harmonic convergence. You'll notice that the 87 date is before Crane came in and is way before the 2012. So the 87 passing of the torch, which was known as the harmonic convergence, actually was, I would call it a covert decision time, where there was the recognition, we're not gonna go through this horror at all. And 2 years later, we had the fall of the Soviet Union, which then changed absolutely everything. So it was almost a precursor energy. That I want to talk, that's so good that you asked that, Shane, because now it ties into the channel that was just given in the chair. When Crane says, if you got somebody knocking at the door and they've got a consciousness, that exists. So it's not a prediction that you don't want to open the door because you can sense the consciousness. So there was a feeling it was coming. Something is coming. And whatever was going on in the Soviet Union at that time is a known quantity and a consciousness. And I think that enough were picking that up, especially harmonic convergence, old souls. And we got a confirmation that something was going to happen. So that was the first thing. The 2012, now that is, we've covered as much as that as usually I want to. That is so specifically worldwide predictions of the indigenous that lined it up with the precession of the equinoxes, which is a astronomical measurement. It is the center of the wobble of the earth. It wobbles for 26,000 years. It's when it stops and then it keeps going and starts again. There's also a half-life of that 26,000 years, which is 13,000, which had predictions on that as well. So it's interesting that the duration of the calendar was 5,125 years. If you multiply that, it'll come up to a 26,000 year. And there were several calendars that are consciousness calendars that I think corresponded to civilizations that were here. Greg and I have that discussion as well. That's probably more than you wanted to know. But that 2012 date, and we explained to people, is, you know, went by without fanfare, except from me. And it changed everything. And the fact that so many indigenous called it long before we had the predictions in scripture, that I think that is one of the biggest things that's ever happened.
Next question.
Thank you. Crane speaks of right and wrong sometimes, and that leads to duality. So I'm a little confused if we're trying to ascend beyond duality. Why are we talking about duality? Or why are we talking about mistakes?
Duality is, and Crane has often talked about the duality as different shades of energy, not right and wrong, light and dark. Crane very seldom actually says the words right and wrong. If there were a time when he did, it's about the appropriateness of action. He talks about duality as choice of consciousness to be a higher level or a lower level. Now, these things are always, I would say, metaphors of consciousness instead of light and dark. Duality is, in my opinion, one of the biggest energies that sits on us. And it sits on us in a way where, for some people, they're always, their choices that they make have come from others. And this is what Crane is talking about when he says, what the duality gives you is the ability to choose. The teaching has always been, are you choosing or has someone chosen for you? And so this is why Crane wants to talk about the duality, never saying you should do or you should not do, but asking you the question, where have your choices come from? So that's the best I can say on that one. You know, these are good, these are like intellectual esoteric questions about how things work. So that's the best I can give you. And as I sit in the chair, I always feel this kindness and benevolent approach to some very difficult issues where Crian is just looking in to our minds and saying, and what is your choice here? And what is it you're thinking? He uses sometimes the term spiritual logic, which I hadn't heard before I started channeling Crian. What is the spiritual logic of a choice you might make here? So he's never said, you did it wrong, as much as he would say, what's the choice? The only time that there has been, I would say, admonition or I felt that Crian was pointing a finger is when he says, why have you taken human nature and put it on the love source? And what he's saying is, why have you made God a bad daddy? Why have you created something that obviously is not divine in a God that would then be human enough to punish you or judge you? That's one of the only times that I've heard him point the finger.
Next question.
This lady in the pink here. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lee, so much. I seen some scientific analysis about the age of the Sphinx and the pyramids. And the Sphinx, I'm from Egypt originally, that's why I'm asking this question, it's really interesting. The Sphinx aligns with Orion, so the latest that I've seen that it's at least about 10,000 years old. The Great Pyramid, there are some indicators about 36,000 years. I just would like to know whether Crian can give an age for the Great Pyramid.
Two or three things. Number one, thanks. If I don't want to correct you, but the Pyramid of Giza is 5,000, not 36,000, built by a pharaoh, and registered, so we know the Great Pyramid is fairly young. The Sphinx, however, and you can sit down. Thank you. The Sphinx is, and what I want to do, if you will allow me to, is in the way we do research on the shows that we're going to do is Monica does the research. She reads the books, we come together, we start to build the show. She's currently, if you haven't finished it yet, read, I would say, the ultimate commensurate book on the research of the Sphinx. So she probably will give you a little more insight as to what we are looking at as the age of it.
I believe Crian did date it in the channel the first time, and it was around 12,000 years old, okay, is what Crian said. And that lines up with the Sphinx water erosion hypothesis. It's been postulated by some geologists, but it's very controversial. Many Egyptologists refute that information. There's a very interesting book written by Robert Temple, and it's called The Sphinx Mystery. He also refutes that timeline, but the information he has discovered about the Sphinx is very compelling. For example, he talks about the hidden chambers. Well, they're not secret. They've been documented by Egyptologists for the last 200 plus years by those who went and visited it. You've had multiple restoration works that have kind of obliterated those chambers. And so the Sphinx really is an anomaly, and we're so fascinated and drawn by it. And I think the reason is because Crian said the original creators of the Sphinx imbued consciousness into it. If you look at the civilization of Egypt, the further back you go in history, the greater the importance of the role of the feminine. And Crian says that this area started off with the concepts of ascension and enlightenment. This was their beginning point. Then Crian admonishes us to be careful of two concepts. One is ascension and enlightenment. The other one is human consciousness. Human consciousness needs to evolve. There is a period of learning, trial and error, where you're changing human nature. So you see through thousands of years of the Egyptian culture that they actually de-evolved, and that is why it didn't last. But our society and our global community, we have just begun the evolution where we're changing our human nature. And so Crane indicated that we had the Egyptian civilization begin with Hathors. This is the only time Crane's mentioned Hathors. Hathors are different to our creation story of the Pleiadians. The Hathors Crane's described in three different ways. One is that they're the brothers and sisters of the Pleiadians, and then the other way is that they're the cousins to the Pleiadians. But either way, they came to give us help and information and impart core spiritual truths, and they're written on the walls on the pyramids and the temples within Egypt. You can go and study that culture, and there's beautiful metaphors for light and ascension. But the human consciousness didn't evolve. It devolved through free choice. And there's just one other example that we know of other off-worldly help. And this is a tribe in Africa called the Dogon tribe. And they claim that they were visited by extraterrestrial creatures from the Sirius system. And they have reported information and knowledge about the Sirius system that has not been able to be proved by astronomy until recently. And everything, anthropologists came across this tribe in the 1920s, recorded the information and thought it couldn't be true. For example, the star in Sirius system, Sirius A and B, one orbits the other at a period of 50 years. How could they know that accurate information without telescopes? But it was later verified as true and accurate. So all of the information that the Dogon tribe have has been verified. And again, Robert Temple, that same author, has written a book on the Sirius mystery as well.
So Robert Temple, yes.
That's the information we have.
It's probably the best book you could get that is Sphinx related. And then just the last thing is, because this is so fascinating, we are working on a show on it, is that when you first see the Sphinx, if you've been to Egypt, and you realize it's right next to the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza. There's actually three pyramids that show up. There's actually another one, too. However, it's right next to them, and they're all at the same level except the Sphinx. And it's way down. You've had to excavate to get the Sphinx. That alone tells you a lot, because almost all excavations, they go in levels of history. And so if they had built the Sphinx at the same time the pyramid, it'd probably been on the same level. Why would they then excavate way down and then build something so magnificent as the Sphinx? So it just shouts that it's not from that era.
Thank you. Hi. So my question is about the nulls and the nodes. So I was wondering if they're all open, or what's still coming, and if there's anything specific to our area here about the energy of Gaia.
Nodes and nulls. There's 12 pairs. There's 24, and over the period of time, Crian has identified their matches. So one belongs to the other, and they're not all identified, but we're hoping that that will happen in the next year or so. And yet again, I want to turn it to Monica, because this has been her study. Her site, monicamorani.com, contains the nodes and the nulls information, which also you can get by cryon.com/nodes. And so just briefly, Mon, would you tell she's asked about this area and also...
I love that question, because Gaia is my passion, and the nodes and nulls are intricately linked with Gaia, who is intricately linked with us. Essentially, yesterday, Lee and I went through a timeline of humanity, and we began at 200,000 years ago, which is the creation story from Crian, when the Pleiadians came to give spiritual DNA to the humans. At the same time, Crian has said this is when the Pleiadians imbued the consciousness grids into Gaia. If you don't have humans with spiritual DNA, there would be no need for the planet to also have a consciousness that interfaces with humans. So it's a beautiful setup that's being created by those ascended humans from the Pleiades system to create a planet that interfaces with humans. And so we have the Cave of Creation, we have the crystalline grid, and they put in there the nodes and nulls of the Earth. Now, we never heard about them until 2012. And the reason? There was no need to know about it until we passed the marker. We made a collective choice to stay on the planet, which created a shift. And it sets up a chain reaction. And so Crian gave us information about these nodes and nulls because they're essentially a fast track to enlightenment. If you want to think of those nodes and nulls that act as a polarized pair, they are like the antennas that receive information from the cosmos and broadcast it onto the grids of the planet, where humans, through free choice, will pick up and receive the information that's being broadcast. What is that information? Well, Crian says that it contains the inventions that are yet to come. It contains very high consciousness science. All of that information is being broadcasted onto the grids for us to receive. So that is why it's so exciting in these next few years. There's inventions that are just sitting there ready to be picked up to help humanity. Imagine a planet where you can create fresh water no matter where you are. Imagine a planet where you have energy generated. If you have all those basic survival needs taken care of and you don't need to have war and fighting over those resources, this is the beginning point that Crian talks about and where you have peace on Earth.
Is there one in Canada at all?
There's one in Canada. It's in the Yukon and it's called Mount Logan.
Okay.
And so it's been matched up with Australia at Uluru.
How about
so
that?
Very interesting that, dynamics there.
That's what I wanted.
One is so cold
and
one is so hot. But there's 12 pairs and at this stage, Crian has identified the matches of 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the last three, there's the Rilla Mountain in Bulgaria, there's Machu Picchu in Peru, and then there's the Tabletop Mountain in Cape Town, South Africa. And so we're actually going to Rilla Mountain in September to do a pineal toning choir. I kind of feel Crian will match that one up. And we're also doing a shamanic journey in Peru in November. And if those two are matched up, we'll have the 12.
We'll have all 12 at that point in time.
Just through elimination.
So, can I just
but
say...
yeah, that's what it is. It's a fast track to enlightenment, and yay!
And crime.com/nodes will give you all of them and show you on a world map that she has prepared. It's very new information. It's not that well known. And let me just tell you, too, that when Crime talked about them initially, it was that they were time capsules. And we think of time capsules completely different than what Crime meant. Then he said, they are capsules that open at the right time. And they're not on the sacred places of Earth that everybody thinks there should be in the portals and all. And many of them, it's like nobody had ever heard of certain mountains in obscure areas. So they're not what you think. So I invite you, if you're interested in that, crian.com/notes.
And you asked specifically about this area of Ottawa. And John has been telling me wonderful things of three rivers coming here. There's a beautiful deposit of rose quartz crystal all over the planet. There are other areas that have energy that those who are sensitive can feel. And so the 12 major nodes and nulls are set there for a fast-track system of enlightenment. But don't think that just because your favorite place where you feel energy isn't on that list is discounted. It's not, because you have so many places that contain special sacred energy. And if you feel it, that in itself is confirmation that there is something special. Then you turn the page. If your Akash is aligned with Gaia and you come to a place where you've had profound shamanic journey, you're going to feel energy in that place. So it's both personal and collective. The planet communicates with us from her energy, but as you walk on her, you have a very personal connection that you're going to feel something sacred and special in an area that others may not necessarily feel it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you, Vaughn. Next question. You see why I keep her around? Oh, I'm sorry. She weren't supposed to hear that, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lee. About reincarnation and pets, what does Kryon say about pets reincarnating and souls or anything like that?
Thank you. Very, very germane question to lots of people asking the same thing. We have to start the question, answer by talking about souls. Who has souls? What? Kryon has said human souls are human souls. They are here for a reason. They claim the kosh and all. But certain animals also have souls. Now, they're not souls that we have, and they're not with tasked as ours, but they do. And this means that within that, the soul of an animal can have certain kinds of consciousness as well. We know that. Pets, you mentioned, because Krishna says the reason for animals, some of the reasons for certain animals are to be loved by humans. They are our friends and our partners, and I think we know this. And so they don't last very long, and we know that. And so Kryon has said many times, he says that if you have an animal who you love, and that animal has spent a lifetime with you, or not, just even a few years, whatever it is, and they're attached to your consciousness in love, that when they pass, they reincarnate. And Kryon says specifically the term is to continue the love affair. The animal wants to continue the love affair, the animal. And so here is what Kryon has channeled. When you have gone through an appropriate time of mourning, without guilt, because the guilt is this, I'm not going to have another one because somehow that'll diminish, you know, the one that passed. When that mourning has passed to the point at which you're okay and stable, go looking. And here's the admonition. Look in animal shelters. Look wherever there are animals that you'll be led to. Don't look for the same breed. you can look, if you're a cat lover, look for a cat. Dog lover, look for a dog. But don't necessarily think they're the same breed. They've got to be. You'll see it in the eyes. You'll see it in their eyes. I experienced this. I experienced it with my little Maltese lapdog. And what that lapdog gave us for 10 years was so precious. And when she was gone, we really mourned that. We really mourned that. Within a few months, we found another Maltese. This was at a breeder. And we knew that whoever came out of that mother would be the one. And we were absolutely, totally correct. And when we got that little dog home, what we had done, the older dog had peed so many times in a certain place in the yard that it was dead, and it looked awful. So we invested in the fake turf all over the backyard to cover all of those things. And when we got that little dog home, she went right to that spot. Not only that, she had a funny habit, and I won't describe because it was too strange. And this little dog did the same doggone thing. And the first time she did it, we went, ha! Oh! These are the signals that they will give you. Continuing the love affair. And that's for you. Okay.
Oh, boy. Hi, my name's Kevin. I'm from Toronto area. In regard to climate change, I've listened to many Kryon channelings, and he's indicated geographically approximations of where it'll be strong and where it won't be, but I've never heard any mention of duration of this mini.
Okay, can I just back up, because some people know what we're talking about and some don't, and I'll be very,
so
but you're asking about the duration, basically.
Mini ice age.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because Kryon had identified it as a mini ice age, you're going to know that it's not going to be over overnight. So we may be in it for a generation or more. But that is that. Wouldn't that make sense with an earth change like this? It's not going to last for a few years. It's probably going to last for more than like 20 or 25 or maybe even 30 before it then starts to go into the other cycle. Now, because it's happened before, there is we can look at it and see this, and that's the point. So Cryon says we have cold coming. Winter is coming. So we have cold coming. And the cold is coming because it's a natural cycle of the planet. It's happened before. The last time it happened, we weren't here. Got that? So that's when it's happened, that scared everybody. And the climatologists and everybody immediately went to carbon dioxide and gases and all. We have created this thing, Cryon says. What you've done with the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and all the pollution is to begin to kill yourselves. And you ought to think about this, but you're not going to hurt the earth with it. Isn't that interesting? Now, that's controversial. But he says, you want to kill yourself? Continue. But that's not going to affect the planet. The planet is extremely resilient to this, not residual. And so what we have is a cycle that's coming that would have come even if we weren't here. And it's proven, again, Greg Braden and I are on the same page here. It's proven by the resources that he has and the research he's done, ice cores, tree rings, articles, mostly from those experts overseas. Now, why would this be? Because in my country, it has become a political football. In my country, it's always been related to the gases and global warming and the fact that we did it. So it's political. So anytime anybody starts to raise their hand, especially if you're a climatologist, do you realize where your funding is normally coming from? It's coming from universities, which are funded by the government. So you're not going to hear a lot of them raise their hands and go, excuse me, it's a cycle. You'll hear it in Europe, but not necessarily here. Am I talking too fast? So there's cold coming. It's happened before. When Monica and I were in Alaska the last time, we got a report from the indigenous. It was so interesting what they had written or through orality, what they had discussed regarding some of the glaciers there. And they talked about how their hunting grounds had disappeared and how the glacier had advanced and then how it had gone back. And this all within several hundred years or something. There's cycles upon cycles. But all the fuss we're having about melting ice and glaciers has happened before, many times before. So we're not losing these things. They're simply part of an Earth cycle. With it comes some extinctions or apparent extinctions when you look at the weather. And we bemoan this. Every single human wants to save every single animal on the planet. What if there was a cycle that the Earth does where things come and go? And it's appropriate that they come and go. This gets me in trouble, too. It's because everybody wants to save everything that's there. But Cryon says, regarding the cold that's coming, Canadians, pay attention. Because even down in the States, you'll have states where Cryon says, snow will never melt. It'll always be on the ground. And this cycle is part of the way the planet recycles life. And it comes mostly, Cryon said, from Antarctica. And there's things there we're going to discover. If you have a fish tank, and if you've ever serviced a fish tank, no matter what you do in the nutrients, the aeration, the pH balance, there come a time when you have to change the water, right? You can't change the water of the earth. So there's a system that rejuvenates the ocean to create life. And it happens whether it's every 1,500 years or whether it's 2,000 or what. We don't have that record because we haven't really been here long enough to have recorded that. This one is not the big one where you have an ice age and it's going to cover us all as ice. It's a mini cycle, mini ice age, but it wants to get colder. Now, the big reason Cryon talks about it at all is that benevolence that says you're going to have to change the way you create electricity. That's the whole thing. That's the bottom line. And I want to tell you, it's here. Cryon has been talking years about certain kinds of engines that perpetuates themselves through magnetics that create electricity that even can be held in your hand. They can be portable for your home. They can go for a neighborhood. Get off the grid. How many of you went through an ice storm that might have been here. And what happens in an ice storm is that the wires get coated, the poles fall down, and you lose power. And how long do you lose it? A long time until they can repair it. But what happens if they can't get outside to repair it? Freezing rain. Experience that? You can't walk in freezing rain. So here comes both of those things in a very big way. So you're not going to want to have electricity on a grid that's delivered to your house. You're going to want to have it at your house. There's nothing wrong with having a wood-burning stove if you don't use it. Some provinces against the law to use it, states as well, but you can still own one, and nobody's going to take you to court for saving your life if you need heat. People die quickly. You know that. Shut-ins, seniors, whatever, they die quickly. It only takes, what, a day or so without heat with the kind of cold in Canada where you freeze to death. So that's the admonition. That cries, the only reason, he said, it's time, and the inventions are here. I couldn't say that on stage 2 years ago. I've seen them. I know they're here. So it's only a matter of time before they're going to filter in. Then you're going to say, well, what about the electricity companies who are going to fight it? They're always fighting it. The electricity, they're going to see that they're in trouble. They know they're in trouble. In California, when it's too hot, we have rolling blackouts. Because there's too much air conditioning being used. They know the grids are in trouble. The electric companies are going to embrace this. First of all, there will be a scheme where they can sell the units. So then there's money to be made from them. And it's a win-win situation. So it's not going to be against them to have this new technology. This is coming. How soon is this going to happen? Crine has updated us. Originally, he gave us a date. This was 2 years ago or a time.
He said 15 years when we gave the Yellowstone conference.
And then, then 2 years later, we had the polar vortex. Like, here it comes. It was almost right on schedule. And that just came right down into the States and gave us Canadian cold. We had never seen that before. And the polar vortex, and Cryan said when it happened, he said, here it comes. It may not come next year, but it's going to come often, more often. It's not a onesie. Because the polar vortex is part of the cooling. Now, the other thing that was interesting is there's always a warming cycle before the cooling. And that then, we're seeing that too. But in general, you're going to see colder weathers, more cold than normal, and it's going to last longer. I love the fact that Canadians deal with cold. You always have. In your cities, you have tunnels under the buildings. You have ways of dealing with cold. So it's you're going to survive, and it's going to be fine. But the electricity is the issue. Yeah.
Next question.
Oh, thank you. Lee, just a follow-up on that. So we have electricity in our area, but also food. Nourishment, if we are going to live, I'm going to live for more than 100 years.
Yay.
Yes, abundantly. So I'm looking at it as if we are going to be, let's say, cold comes in, separated from the city, that means we are supposed to start small communities that will support each other, isn't it?
The answer is vertical farming. It's coming. There's going to be ways of growing food that are new, you haven't thought of. There's going to be ways of irradiating seeds so that the food grows at three times as big as it normally does, more without insect problems. These are all things that are coming for us because of this. You're going to see it. I've seen it. One last question. I'm sorry this is so short, but the answers are complete.
Hi, my name is Sylvie. I found the channeling this morning absolutely fascinating. And my question relates to that. If the body is always listening, and that's my interpretation, correct me if I misunderstood, through the attitude that we have and the consciousness, is it possible for the body to regrow a limb?
Cryan has said yes. And this always freaked me out because I said, nobody's ever done it. And Cryan says, yes, but take a look at the animals. And then he talks about some of the amphibians that regularly grow limbs back, and all says, this process is not unknown, and it's going to advance with your DNA. So as your DNA starts to get more complete, as we talked about this morning, that 35% becomes more like 60, you will start seeing limbs not just regrow by themselves, but some advances in technology that will help that. So it's not just consciousness. Right now, we lose it forever. Christ says, yes. And he always points to nature, which is already doing it, and saying, look, 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 it's not a miracle. It's a process. That makes sense? I love it. There's more. I mean, you talk about, can I just do the one more? And Monica's going to help me finish this. We're in Easter Island. And we've met a shaman there. He's a shaman of the island. He's also a botanist. And in the crater at Easter Island, there's always been some kind of nutritional magic that goes on. It may even be in a multidimensional portal where things grow differently and medicinal plants have been grown. And we got a report that the lifespan of a Rapa Nui, the indigenous there, was like alarmingly large and long due to what grows in the crater. Now, where this is going, as a botanist, he is working with something that has to do with what happens when you get a transplant. When you get a transplant, you realize that your DNA is not the DNA of the transplant, right? And so there is what you call rejection. Okay, now in that rejection, you have to take drugs to dumb your body down so it doesn't do that.
So Lee's referring to a herb that is found on Easter Island, Rapa Nui, and it was, I believe, discovered by a doctor from Brazil, and they were using it in the organ transplant patients and found that when they were taking this, the percentage of the organ being rejected was substantially reduced. In other words, using this natural medicine that had no side effects greatly increased the organ transplant being accepted by the person. Now, if you explore rapamycin is the name of it. That's RAPAMYCIN, rapamycin. This is what is being used in the medical industry. But it's essentially from Easter Island, and it's a natural herb.
And Cryan talks about what you don't know, you might be able to grow in Ireland. So you see, he's given all kinds of hints. Why Ireland? You'll have to read some of the channels that Cryan has given in Ireland about why the little people are seen and what's different there, and multidimensional energies, and the soil is different on the Green Isle. That may be something where we can grow things naturally that we don't even know about yet. You know, things are coming. In addition to the winter, there are things that are coming that are going to help us through all of these things.